The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Bryce Drew, the head coach of Grand Canyon University. I think the Lopes are going to be the only representative in this year's NCAA tournament in March Madness. They are in first place. They play New Mexico State, who usually wins the WAC. They play them this Friday and Saturday. It's time to get caught up with Bryce Drew just on how they've played so far this season. If I were to tell you that the number one rebounder in the nation and the number four field goal percentage player in the nation is at Grand Canyon University, you'd be like, no way, Sessmatt. And I would be like, way. So we're going to talk to Bryce Drew about his team and where they are in this coming weekend and some college hoops with the coach over at GCU. Sean Aguano is going to be with us today, the running backs coach at Arizona State. I want to get caught up with Sean on these three stud backs that they brought in last year. A year ago at this time, it's Eno Benjamin's leaving. Can we find somebody, anybody? And they found three of them. So what did they do in the offseason? We'll do some college football with Sean Aguano. That is coming up. Jordan Spurgeon is going to join us here in a moment, too. Spurge did the game last night down in Tucson. That comes up in a moment. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. As mentioned, Jordan Spurgeon with Sports 360 and Blaze Radio on campus. You did the game last night, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Pac-12 after dark.
Yeah. You did Pac-12 as the sun rises. That game started at 9:15-ish.
Yeah, it was around there.
ESPN2?
Yeah.
Like we just got to get this game played. And so the Sun Devils lose again. And you're doing the play-by-play last night. You're doing it in at Cronkite's building in downtown Phoenix. You did not go to Tucson.
Nope, we did it in the building, so got to see Bill Walton's face plenty of times on the broadcast last night, and watched the game from there, so yeah.
And you're lucky to do the game at Cronkite, because I've been down there for tail kickings. You stop at EG's, Jordan, and you have the hour and 20-minute drive home to say, what the heck just happened? So, so what happened last night? Like, I saw the numbers, and I saw a little bit of it, and I shut it off, and I've got it on the DVR. I don't think I need to take an hour and a half of life that I'll never get back.
No, you don't. Last night for the Sun Devils, they just couldn't get anything rolling. They came out very lethargic.
Why?
I think they started out 0-12 from the field. Bobby Hurley has changed his attitude, and the fire that he showed before getting fined with the Pac-12 really sort of was not there all game long. You didn't see him fighting as much. You didn't see him being a rah-rah kind of guy before the game as much. And I feel like it went down to the players. The only two that showed any sort of effort all night were Jalen Graham and Jalen House. Josh Christopher was flat. He didn't make his first field goal until about 4 minutes left in the game, and then he fouled out immediately after. Yeah. It was a reach-in foul where he probably just wanted to go to the bench. And no one really got it going, especially in the first half. I'm not a big numbers guy, but they shot 8 of 35, which you're never going to win a game shooting that poorly. Yeah. And it was a lot of air balls. It was a lot of forced shots. It wasn't like they were getting good shots and missing. They were taking bad shots and still missing. So there were a lot of things there. But credit to Arizona. Sean Miller, he's coached this team extremely well. I mentioned a couple times on the broadcast, obviously with the postseason ban, they don't have a ton to play for rather than continuing to build the culture. And now you sweep the Territorial Cup. It's a pretty successful season for the Wildcats so far.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with you on that. I think, look, for Sean, he's got 14 months left on his contract. And so he's got a group of players this year that have nothing to play for. And that was their March Madness there. Two games in 5 days, and they sweep ASU. I guess my thought on this is, so are Christopher and Bagley and Remy now starting to say, yeah, I'm going to be done here in 5 weeks, so I need to go get my representation in order. I need to go find my workout guys. I need to plan April, May, and June for the NBA draft. And it's the danger you run when you bring in guys that are there for just one season. Neither one has said, Bagley and Christopher have not said we're leaving, but everybody's assuming that they're gone.
Yeah.
I'm thinking on this one, Jordan. I think the bigger question is going to be, is Bobby at a point where he's like, I've blown up at these officials. Yeah, it's COVID. Everybody's in the same boat. We are in last place in the conference. I am the players have checked out on me. Because anybody who's going to try to spin this around and say, oh, it's really not that bad. No, it's that bad. And anybody's going to give me the, well, you know, other schools are going through it. No, they're U of A is going through it, and they just waxed you. That game was 40-18, right, at one point?
At one point, it was 40-18 at halftime.
Just a tail kicking.
It's very interesting. Not sure what it is. Remy hasn't been the leader that everyone expected heading in. So there's a lot more that we don't know about inside that locker room.
Yeah.
There's something there. There's a reason why he hasn't been the same leader as before. I don't know if it's the chemistry, but there's something there. And maybe it is something to do with Christopher and Bagley just knowing this is a stop in the road before they go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. What are you working on, by the way? Have you done a story at all here lately? Have you just been working, doing games? And so Jordan is I brought Jordan on last week, and I want Jordan in more often. When Eric came to me and said, I need to jump off the show, I want to go do some things on the high school end, I talked to a lot of people, and I felt that Spurge was the one that I looked at and said, he could do this. Now, one day he's going to tell me, I'm out of here. I get it. But what are you working on? Because you're at Blaze, you're doing school, but I mean, come on, write something. write what you saw last night. Do anything.
Yeah, that's in my drafts right now. I've been reaching out, doing an ASU softball story on some of their players with their preseason rankings. So I reached out yesterday, so that'll be good.
Good.
And I was trying to get started in the bureau over at Cronkite News. So reaching out to some football stories. I'm on the Cardinals beat, but there's no Cardinals to talk about. So
are you with Professor Bovin over there?
Yeah, with Paula.
Wow. That's tough.
She's awesome.
she's just a lot of maintenance, man.
I mean, that's what it takes to be on the college football playoff committee. You got to be a lot of maintenance, right?
Yeah. Paula's the best. My sister. All right, good stuff. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate it. There's Jordan Spurgeon. He did the game last night. He sat through just carnage. So you guys want to be in this business, and you're thinking it's glorious and glamorous. And no, there's times where you're stuck. Like Jordan had to sit there and describe a train wreck last night. And it's the announcers that do it and do it well. Like whenever I hear Al McCoy doing a game, I'll tell my wife, I can't tell who's winning. I can't tell who's winning the game. And then I'll hear it's 92-68 Lakers leading the Suns. And it's, wow, he's making it sound like it's 92-68 Suns. That's the mark of a Hall of Fame broadcaster. A lot of other people would just check out on that. And so it's not all that it's cracked up to be, especially when you have blowouts like that. One year I had a game. I was a play-by-play voice of San Diego State basketball. And we had to go to Beaumont, Texas to play Lamar. And the team wasn't any good. And their point guard got popped for shoplifting Twinkies as we're supposed to get on the bus to go to Beaumont, Texas 2 days before Christmas. So we get down there and 46 turnovers later, because there was no point guard, we're in this gym where everybody's on top of you. I have no color guy. I have no broadcast partner. I'm my own engineer. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Los Angeles, and people are listening to this crapola from young broadcaster Sesmat. We get off the game. They lose by 46. They had 46 turnovers. They lost by 60. We go back to the hotel. The power's out. So we had to eat a dinner by candlelight. It was like the Last Supper. It was just dreadful. And I'm thinking, this is the life of a broadcast. It's a play-by-play guy, but I absolutely loved it. We have coming up Bryce Drew, but after that, I want to talk about Curt Schilling, because today, this afternoon, is Baseball Hall of Fame. And what should happen to Curt and Clemens and Bonds? There's that. And the Cactus League. Cactus League is kicking around the idea of trying to push back. And today is the one-year anniversary of when Kobe Bryant and his daughter and others perished in the helicopter crash. That's some thoughts on that, too. And then Sean Aguano. So busy 45 minutes still to come. But up next, it's Bryce Drew. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, so let's lay out the land here in our great state. We are the busiest sports market in America, and there's times where I see stories that go off to the side a bit because so much is going on. The sports story of the week is at Grand Canyon University. This Friday night and Saturday night, they play New Mexico State. GCU with Bryce Drew, who joins us for a couple of minutes here via Zoom. They are in first place. They have played terrific basketball. It looks like from a distance they're coming together. I'm not telling you guys to go buy tickets. This is not one of those deals I've done in the past with GCU where it's they fly under the radar because you can't. I mean, you can, but you shouldn't. Let's just put it that way. So with that as the backdrop, here's Bryce Drew. Congratulations, first and foremost. In year number one, are you surprised to be sitting atop the WAC as we sit here and talk the third week of January?
Well, first, we love Phoenix, so we're happy to be in your market. It's been awesome so far. And GCU is a special place, great people. Love the vision of the school. And you know, this year is just so crazy. You know, going back from the summer to the fall to even now, you know, you look at the standings and you say first place. But, I mean, like some teams like New Mexico State haven't even played any conference games yet.
Yep.
Some have played like one conference game, some three. I mean, it's just wild looking at the standings and looking at records because there's really no rhyme or reason to team, you know, what's going on.
You took over on March 17th, so it's not even been a year yet. Are you where you want to be or close to where you want to be? Is this moving faster, slower than what you thought when you stood there and said, I'm the new head coach?
Well, you know, we're very thankful. We had some really good returning players that have a lot of WAC experience coming back. And then we were able to add, you know, Oscar Freyer, who's been here for a few years, but mm-hmm. didn't play last year. So, you know, very grateful for the experience, you know, that we inherited. You know, that you can tell they were well coached. And then, you know, we were able to add a couple pieces. They got waivers to play right away. You know, one being Asbjorn Midgard, who's just been sensational for us so far. So, you know, it's really come together quickly with the experience and with, you know, the additions. But we still have obviously a long way to go. New Mexico State has set a standard in this league for quite a while, and they're very talented and they're very well coached. And when you add a lot of talent and good coaching, it usually equals a lot of wins.
Bryce Drew with us for a couple of minutes over at Grand Canyon University this Friday and Saturday at home against New Mexico State. I don't want to go up and down the roster too much, so I'll just leave it like this. What do you like most about this roster?
I think what I like most is just how they've come together and they've blended together. You know, we have about half our players did not play last year. We have a lot of new players and just mixing, you know, a lot of different players in a short amount of time. We didn't have a normal summer. You don't have a normal, you know, fall. You have a couple. I had three different, you know, quarantine breaks in our practices. And so, you know, they've had to have some adversity, but I actually think the adversity and the quarantines, you know, make them come together a little bit more. So, you know, it's all kind of perspective, how you look at it. And, you know, when we had ours, I think it really helped our guys, you know, bond a little bit.
What do you look at your team and say, Brad, we're not there yet? I mean, I don't want to say concern, but when you look at it, just say, we got to get better here.
Yeah, you know, Brad, it's you go into every game and I know these guys and they know, you know, myself from a certain standpoint, but we haven't been through enough, you know, situations and times together to know, you know, enough about everyone that you feel real confident, you know, in certain situations. So we're still experiencing new things throughout games. And there's a big advantage when you have a continuity. You know, if I'm 3 years with a player, you know, chances are I know how they're going to react or if they're going to be ready for this game or not. But everything is a first time right now for some of our players and for our staff. And so we're really trying to still get to know each other better and continue to improve our continuity and flow.
When I've watched the games, Ash looks like a guy, and then you see the stats where if I were to say to most fans here in the Valley, do you know who's leading the nation in field goal percentage at least last week? Do you know who's one of the top rebounders of the nation? He's actually right here over at GCU. His numbers and what it looks like on the stat sheet and how it's translated over on the court.
You know, he came in this summer, and his 3 years at Wichita State, you know, he had to practice really hard. You know, he improved as a player. And I think, you know, we're getting to see, you know, some of the fruit of all that work that he's put in, you know, the last 3 years. He didn't get a lot of minutes there to really show what he could do. And he's just really come in. You know, you don't get many 7 feet, 270-pound players that are diving for loose balls at practice. And I think when he came in this summer, he set a different tone for our team. You know, when he's diving for loose balls, you know, last game he took a charge and goes flying down to the ground again. You just don't see that from 7 feet, 270. And so his toughness and his mentality, you know, to rebound has really influxed our team.
Bryce Drew with us for a couple of minutes. GCU, New Mexico State this Friday, Saturday. Today the Lopes sit atop the Western Athletic Conference standings. A long ways to go, but it's still nice to talk about. I like to focus on the local players from high school to college and kids that decide to stay home, or they went somewhere and then came back. I saw Gabe McLaughlin over at Basha be part of a state title team and saw a player that was really tough, into soccer along with his older brother. Really good kid. How's he played for you this year, Bryce?
You know, we love Gabe. I think Gabe just embraces everything that GCU is, you know, from a face side to his work ethic to the character, you know, that he has. And, you know, we've played four league games, and right now he is almost at averaging 10 rebounds per game. Mm. He's right below that clip. And he's done a sensational job really coming in, you know, behind Ash and Alessandro Laver and giving us a lot of energy and rebounding the basketball. And we like his future. You know, he's only a sophomore. Yep. You know, he has a lot of time to keep improving and getting better. And so, you know, we see a great future for him here.
And Black Shear, of course, a very good guard at the high school level here in the Valley.
Won a lot of games here. You know, I know a lot of people that follow high school basketball obviously will know him and how great his high school team was. You know, what we've enjoyed is just the progression. You usually take a really big jump from your freshman year to your sophomore year. And he's definitely taken a jump, you know, scoring the basketball better. And I think playing with a lot more confidence.
Before I get you out of here, a couple things. Mental health with college players. I have people that say to me, you do too much on this, Brad, because I'm really concerned about that on the high school level and in college as well. And even professionally, there's a lot of that, Bryce. I'm curious on your end, when you see your team, have you had to have some difficult conversations with players saying, I can't believe I'm in this world right now?
You know, it's definitely relevant issues for a lot of reasons. Obviously, the pandemic we're in and you know, when we were in quarantine, you know, it was difficult for guys to be, you know, in a room for almost 2 weeks and, you know, not to be able to do, you know, things they're used to doing. So you have those issues then with the pandemic. But then you also have all the other issues just, you know, with today's society. And the biggest is social media with Twitter. You know, I didn't have to experience that as a player, you know, thank the Lord. But I mean, these kids, you know, sometimes they get praised and then other times they get just bashed. And if certain kids are looking for the extrinsic, you know, compliments to feel good about themselves, like Twitter's going to let them down eventually and they're going to have some issues to deal with. And I've definitely had players in the past that, you know, some of our one-on-one meetings deal more with, you know, confidence and, you know, morale and trying to handle the social media aspect because it is relevant and we're all human. We don't like people to say bad things about us. And unfortunately, you know, that's a platform that anyone can get on and, you know, discriminate you, cut you down, say whatever they want, degrade you. Yep. And you can't do anything about it. So I think that adds to these teenagers and some of the things they go through from a mental health perspective.
Yeah, I refer to it as the world's largest sports bar. That's really where it is. And the thing is, you can't do much about it because a player gets dressed after the game is over and the first thing they do, or even sitting on their stool, you know, when we were allowed to go into locker rooms, they are just sitting there scrolling as soon as the game is ending and they're still in their uniform. So
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's amazing.
No matter what level, they're doing the same thing.
New Mexico State, you mentioned earlier, they've barely played any games. They've been here in the Valley trying to get through all this. What do you expect from them this Friday and Saturday?
Well, you go back and you look at their winning tradition and, you know, they have a lot of players on their roster that have won championships. Mm-hmm. And you've been around sports enough. You know, when you've won those championships, you just approach things with a different mentality. Like you expect to win. And, you know, they haven't had, they've only had one D1 game, but again, they got a lot of faces that have, that have won a lot of WAC games and conference championships, tournament championships. And so we expect them to come in, you know, obviously ready to play. And their practices might be tougher than some games, you know, that they've played. So, you know, they're going to come in and do what they do.
Do you know about the WAC tournament yet? If it's going to happen or not, where that stands? Because part of our deal every year is we go to Vegas, and every year I run into President Mueller and Jerry, and every year we sit there at the Orleans for the championship game, and every year it feels like it's New Mexico State. And unfortunately, most every year I get in the car and leave, and it's a loss. But that to say, is there going to be a WAC tournament? Do you know?
Well, it's kind of no news is good news. So, yeah. You know, we have heard no other plans or alternative plans or anything. So as far as I know, everything is full speed ahead to be in Vegas.
Well, good stuff. I appreciate the visit and the deep dive. Good to get to visit with you a bit. Stay well and stay luck this weekend.
You too. And hopefully we can get actually really face to face at some point here when all this stuff ends.
No, I agree with that. There's Bryce Drew. We appreciate his time at GCU. And again, the Lopes is Friday, Saturday, but please don't go buy tickets because they're very limited as to who they're letting in the arena. Just watch from afar. The game's on TV, it's on radio and all that. We're back with more after this timeout. Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. Today, this afternoon, it will be the Baseball Hall of Fame, the writers, and they will announce who goes in. Curt, in my opinion, if I take everything that happens off the field, if I take every bit of what Curt Schilling was all about, red light Curt, whatever, and I watch Curt pitch, just watch him pitch, then Curt Schilling's a Hall of Famer. The issue that we're running into with Curt Schilling is off the field, he's acted poorly. He has acted in a way that, in my opinion, is less than becoming. But are we voting on a player? I'm not a voter for this, by the way. I know our friend Pedro Gomez. I thought about having Pedro on today, but we wouldn't know the end result. He has said he will never vote for Bonds and never vote for Clemens. Both Bonds and Clemens from the steroid era are closer today. And by this afternoon at 4 o'clock, when the announcement is made, they may actually be Hall of Famers. Is there a point, because both of them are in their ninth tries, you only get 10 tries, and if you don't make it in by the 10th, then it goes to the Veterans Committee down the road. Has there been too much paid towards those two guys in terms of pound of flesh for not putting them in the Baseball Hall of Fame because they cheated, allegedly cheated, or they just flat cheated because we could all see it? What happens to Pete Rose? Where's Curt Schilling fall in all this? And Curt, because he's a Diamondback, to me, Curt Schilling belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame. There will be those that will hold their nose and say, I did not like him as a person. I did not like the things that he said around the Capitol riots. I did not like some of the things he had written in the past. But all of that happened when Curt Schilling was done playing the game of baseball. And so I have to look at the player. I'm not looking at the person. It's hard to differentiate. There's times in sports through the years where I see a person and I would say, I can't vote for that guy. And then I have to take a step back. You know, I'm a Heisman voter. So I look at people and say, would I vote for that person? I may know of things or have seen things and say, there's not a chance. But then it's no, you got to assess, Matt. You got to check that at the door. And what do they do on the field? Some people will vehemently disagree with this. It's just where I'm at. The Cactus League. So I've been hearing the Cactus League's been wanting to push back. And February 27th is when they're first supposed to play. For many of you, to get out to a game or two is a sense of normalcy. To have a windy afternoon where the Cubs are playing the Brewers or the Diamondbacks are playing against the Royals and you're just hanging out, that's part of what we've done through the years. We're not at a place yet where people can gather in mass. Please mask up. If you disagree, you disagree, but please mask up. And it's the right move if they can push back. Tourism is what drives all this. When I talk to my friends in the tourism industry, they've been completely destroyed, like hotel occupancy at 2% last Easter, completely destroyed. Whole staffs being let go. That industry can't make it. And so if you have to wait 2, 3, 4 weeks because the vaccine starts to grab hold and we can get through this,
and maybe there's more people that come out to watch the games. Is there a benefit to that? Sure. Major League Baseball wanting to hear that. They just want to get their games on and get the season played in normal. But this is not a normal time. So I'd have no problem if they push back. Sean Aguano, Arizona State football running back coach, on these three studs that he had on the field as freshmen, and now what does he look for in them in the offseason? That comes up next. As promised, let's focus now on Arizona State here in the offseason, and Sean Aguano, the running backs coach, with us for a few minutes to, you know, take some time and just talk about what was a unknown about a year ago at this time, Sean, when Eno Benjamin was leaving. That was the narrative of all the young guns coming in. You had four games. So here in the offseason, what do you want to see out of these guys? What did you learn last year out of them? There's a lot of questions. So the floor is yours on running back, Sean.
You know, I was nervous, to tell you the truth, especially against our the opponent in our first game, USC. Wanted to see, you know, the youngness of this group and how they would perform. And they did incredibly well. I knew in recruiting them, they all played at a high level, played for championship teams. And so I knew the competition level wouldn't phase them as much. I thought the fastness of the game would hamper them a little bit, but they came out and exploded on the scene. And their professionalism on the way they prepare and the way they go about business on the field at practice is incredible, and they kind of feed off of each other. So I hope they're not complacent. Those are the meetings and evaluations that we've had the last couple of days. And, you know, for them to improve every single day, and especially in the spring and in the summer, and then produce at a high level come fall.
What did you like most, if you're to pick a trait out of each one of these guys, just a line or two on each one of them?
Rashad White, very talented. Is very humble, goes about his business in a uncharacteristic way, because he's always smiling. And, you know, sometimes you think that he's not serious about things. He's very serious, but he has a great personality. Chip Trainum, very professional, goes about his business every single day, very mature for his age, a very physical kid, and just loves to compete. And then Daniel Nagata, again, the quiet one of the bunch, but is leader in his own way, goes about every day doing the right things all the time. And you know, he doesn't have the physical specimen like the other guys, but he goes about and competes very well.
If you're to look here in the off season, we're sitting here in January. What do these guys need to do these next few weeks? Because we think spring football is going to be in late March. We don't know because of COVID. So in this time of year, when you sit with each one of them, it's, I need you to improve on this.
You know, we just had our evaluations. And so I need them to improve on their professionalism and preparing, not only on the field, but in the weight room, especially right now from a physical standpoint, and then dig deep into the playbook and conceptually understand the whys of the game, and take notes like, it was your first day in class. And so I know it's repetitious because we went through so many installs over and over again, planning to play, and they got tired of it but now going back to the baseline and making sure that we're not complacent and taking it at a professional level every day.
So if you're talking to White, what do you say to him specifically?
Rashad, you need to make sure that the game becomes slower, and that's understanding the way the second level and third level plays and are coming at you from a running back standpoint. He does a great job getting prepared. I think he could dig in a little bit more to the whys of everything else. And it will help his development.
Train him. What do you say to him? What do you want to see him improve upon specifically?
Improve upon, you know, stop being so mature and have fun with the game. He goes about it business-like every single day, and he's competitive, and he has a goal and a plan. I'd like to make sure he's not hard on himself, but enjoys the process.
And how do you go about that, Sean? I mean, do you just say to him after a practice or play, man, this isn't brain surgery, it's football. Do you try to loosen him up? How do you go about it?
You know, when we go through our evaluations after the game, and watching film and things like that, trying to make sure that he's not so hard on himself. And so trying to find the positives in everything that he does, because very critical on himself because he's a perfectionist. And so sometimes we just laugh it off and that's the way it goes, and try to keep it at a more personable level.
Nagata, what do you say to him?
You know, Nagata, make sure that you understand that it's you're competing every single day. And he's in a group with two very talented guys, and he's just as talented. You know, his physical stature is a little bit smaller than the other two, but he has all the traits to be a good back. And so keep on progressing every single day in preparing and on the field at practice.
I get asked this by fans about how much offense did we see? And this may be a question for Zach as well as you, obviously, but sure. How much did we see out of them in just four games this year, as opposed to, look, we got to page 7 in the playbook, Brad. We did not. How far in did you get with them and what you could do?
You know, I would say probably 30% of the playbook, maybe, because we just went through the installs. And so Zach does a great job making sure that we execute what we have in. And I always go back to that is not how much we have in, is what we, when we do have a certain amount of installs, we execute at a high level and pay attention to details. And I know Coach Hill acknowledges that with the group. And so that's kind of where we are at, paying attention to detail and being disciplined in what we do.
Sean Aguano with us for a few minutes as we talk about running backs in Arizona State here in the off season. Before I get you out of here, I want to have you do a tutorial if you could. There are high school parents or high school kids that are watching right now, whether it's here in Arizona or across the country as our show gets distributed out. What advice do you give them just in general terms in off season that you want to see? Is it you got to play sevens? Is it for the running backs, especially in that position? Go do other sports. If you're not doing track, it's a mistake. What are some tips that you want to give out that you look for in high school players?
You know, I might be off way on this and say that they should be having fun no matter what they do. And I don't think specializing in one sport is productive just because of muscle memory and things like that. I think people should be running track. I think people should be playing sevens. I think people should be playing baseball. I think they should be doing all kinds of stuff that they're competing with themselves. When we're on a recruiting level, I want to see kids that compete every down. That means if they're on the mound pitching or at a 7-on-7s, how do they compete and are they having fun? And then the other part is their relationship with their peers and teammates. Are they the guy that is on the side thinking of himself and hard on himself, or is he the guy that's bringing up his players and being a rah-rah guy and helping out? So those are the characteristics that I'd like to see when I go out and personally recruit. But I don't believe in specialization. I know a lot of people pay for the specialization and things like they're at a young age that you should be having fun as long as they're competing and staying in shape.
And specialization could be going to see a strength coach, a speed coach, a this coach and a that coach. And they're all fine, I think, within reason, because you're with that specialty coach for an hour. What are you doing the other 23 hours in the day when you're not with that specialty coach, right?
Exactly. And, you know, nowadays, a lot of the parents feel that is a must just to be competitive. And I see their view on that. However, then there comes burnout, and then there becomes blaming. I didn't get a Division I scholarship and all of this kind of stuff. And then a lot of times they lose their youngster years. And so there still has to be fun in what you do, because at the collegiate level, it becomes tough. Now you have 85 guys who are just as good or maybe better than you, and how to compete every single day. And if you're not having fun doing that and lose the joy of that, it becomes tough.
Sean, appreciate the time. Good stuff there.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
It's good to visit with you. There's Sean Aguano with us, and we're back with more after this timeout.